We are back, and remember, ESPN is now once again the home for hockey, and we will have the first round of this year's NHL draft tomorrow, 8 Eastern, on ESPN2 and the app, one tap. John Butchigross will be your host. Meanwhile, speaking of hockey, did you see this last night? The new NHL team, the Seattle Kraken, held this expansion draft. One of the picks was revealed by an octopus, by the way. But the most amusing moment of the night, there's the octopus. But for me, Marshawn Lynch announcing the first pick. Bear in mind, this is the first pick of this draft, was the best moment of the night. Just enjoy.
This is the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow to the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much, as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, and look, Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
So, Booger, I've watched that thing this morning 100 times, and each time I pick out a new part of it that is my favorite. What is your reaction to Marshawn Lynch announcing the first pick of the Seattle Kraken's expansion draft last night?
Well, Greeny, first of all, it was very authentic, but it was also very professional. Rule number one in TV, if you don't know a name, don't try to sound smart and pronounce the name. People used to crush Giannis Antetokounmpo. It took me forever to figure out how to pronounce it, and I might have screwed up then. Either way, if you're not for sure, do not pronounce it on live television. So great job by Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, I loved every second of it. With that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up, live as always above the Heineken. Here you are, live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed. Tim Hasselbeck is joining the party coming up next, and here's what's on the menu. It's time to get up with the Cowboys, where the D in Big D stands for determined. Wait till you hear how Jerry is just so desperate this season. We start with him. You need to hear it. Then to Pittsburgh, where a different sort of aging legend has one last chance at one last dance. Spoiler alert, at least one of us thinks he can do it. Plus, Tampa Tom talks, and this time he says something we've never heard from him before. The question is he right? We'll have the answer in this hour of Get Up, which begins right now in Oxnard, California, where the Cowboys today will hold their first practice of the season, officially turning the page on a disappointing 2020. But yesterday, the owner, Jerry Jones, speaking emotionally about his mindset entering this season.
I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl. That's a fact. I think we've got a way to make it work big for this season. I feel as driven as I was when we first bought the team. And I could probably be anywhere in the world I want to be right now. I want to be here with our team.
Remarkable emotion there. And again, we welcome Tim Hasselbeck to the conversation here today. But let me get Kimberly Martin's thoughts first, because you were touched by that as you watched that yesterday.
I was. Because unlike Booger, I'm a person. I understand people have feelings. You know, I said earlier in the show, I actually feel bad for Jerry Jones. I said on the show, I think the Cowboys are actually the favorite to win the NFC East, but I don't think they have enough to win a Super Bowl this season. And perhaps that's why I feel bad, because I recognize that the window for this team is closing, and particularly Jerry Jones. I mean, he's almost 80 years old. And as he sat there yesterday and all the emotion sort of got to him, I think he's realizing the regrets, the ways in which he would have handled things differently, how this team has fallen short, how he has fallen short over the years. It's been a very long time since the Cowboys were that dynasty. And I don't know when they'll win a Super Bowl, but the window is closing. And I think that's why I feel a little bit bad for Jerry.
It was interesting to me. He talked about Jimmy, which is something he doesn't do a lot of. And anyone who knows the history there knows, Booger, why that is so important to him and to them. What'd you think of Jerry yesterday, Boog?
Well, Greeny, what it sounded like is that guy that had a great relationship. I mean, he had the most phenomenal woman in his life. He screwed it up, and he's sitting back, and he's reminiscing and reflecting and he's crying. Like, he has all the money in the world. He's a billionaire, but he doesn't have the woman that he wants, and he let her get away, and he's crying, and he's reminiscing, and he realized, although money can't buy you happiness, here's what I'll tell you. Money can buy you a lot of things that'll make you happy. So, Jerry, it's really simple. Understand this. You screwed it up with Jimmy Johnson. That's over with. So let's move on. You're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. I'm glad you played Dak Prescott. He is a phenomenal quarterback, top 5 to 8 quarterback in this league. But come on, there is nothing more, and not even me, there's nothing less that America wants to see than a billionaire on TV crying that he hasn't won, and he realizes he's getting a little old in the tooth, and I'm going to get on TV, and I'm going to cry and let everyone know that I'm in my feelings. Come on, man. America doesn't even want to see that, let alone me.
That's what Kimberly meant when she said a booger is not a human being. So let me come to Tim Hasselbeck, who is. Tim, what was your take on this? And maybe more importantly for football fans everywhere, does he have the team to do it?
Well, I would say my take on it is this. I think there's something really powerful when a group of guys go to training camp and they're kind of dreading being at training camp. And quite honestly, the marathon of a season that's ahead of them, to have the owner of the team at the training camp location and say, listen, guys, I could be anywhere. I could be on a boat in the Caribbean. I could be relaxing. I could be on a golf course. But you know what? I'm choosing to be here. I could be anywhere. I want to be here with this team. I think there's something powerful in that. And I think it's a good message for that Cowboys football team. Now, I think the challenge for them, Greeny, is no, they don't have a Super Bowl winning team this year. They've got a really good offense, or what should be a really good offense, if they can rebuild that offensive line. They have a defense that's going to have to really improve from a year ago. So, look, they're not a Super Bowl caliber team, but they can be a team that's getting better, and they're starting with a good message from their owner.
Booger, you have a bemused smile. Why is that?
Well, because, Green, there are some powerful things in life, some powerful moments that we've seen in sports. As a player, I don't think there's anything powerful about Jerry Jones flying in on his private helicopter, or private plane, doing the press conference. Do we honestly think he's going to be in Oxnard for the next 5 weeks? Jerry's probably already back in Dallas, and he'll fly back to California for the next press conference. Tim, are you kidding me, man? Come on,
man. Hey, there's a bunch of owners that don't show up until the playoffs, Boog. You know that. There's something powerful on that first day.
There are some owners that it's not evident that they're aware the training camp has started. So I'm sort of leaning on that side of the ledger. And once again, Booger does not have human feelings. Let's see what he thinks of this. 5 days and counting until the Packers start training camp, and all eyes around the world of football, of course, remain on Aaron Rodgers. Now, the other day on First Take, our own Stephen A. Smith said this.
This is proof of what I've been talking about for months. It's not about football. It's not just about the money. It's not just, and it certainly isn't about football. This is about the way that the Green Bay Packers have treated their star player. They have disregarded him. They have dismissed him. They have minimized him. They've disrespected him. And he said, bump y'all, enough's enough. He doesn't want to be a part of the Packers organization.
So you wonder, why did we play that? The significance of this is that Stephen A. tweeted that rant with his message on it, and Shailene Woodley retweeted it. To be clear, Shailene Woodley is a famous actress, and more to the point of this conversation, she is Aaron Rodgers' fiance. So, look at Sam Acho's face. He is ready to go. What do you think of that, Sacho, that Shailene Woodley retweeted Stephen A.'s thoughts there?
So I didn't know that Shailene retweeted that thing. That says it all. And so before I even knew that Shailene retweeted that tweet, first of all, Stephen A. is right. Right? Aaron Rodgers has been disrespected in his eyes and in a lot of people's eyes. He hasn't been treated like Drew Brees, who got a chance to decide who's on his team and what kind of contract he gets, et cetera. He hasn't been treated like Tom Brady, who got a chance once again to look at the roster and essentially select who's on his team. But then to have Shailene Woodley, the fiance, the person who's at his right hand, nonstop, retweet this tweet. If that doesn't say everything we need to know, Stephen A., yes, you're on point, but Shailene Woodley, we appreciate you because Aaron Rodgers is not happy, and it's because he's not getting the respect that he deserves. I think he's still going to play this year. Many people think he's going to hold out and sit out and not play. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play for Green Bay. But, man, Shailene, thank you because you made it abundantly clear.
The first real signal we will get will come Tuesday when training camp begins. Tim Hasselbeck, I haven't had a chance to get your perspective on this in a while. What do you think?
I agree with Sam. Look, the deal is that Aaron Rodgers' best opportunity to win a Super Bowl is in Green Bay. And Green Bay's best chance to win a Super Bowl is with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, it's a little bit like Tom Brady and the joke that he was having with Aaron prior to their little golf match. It's like, you're unhappy, but you don't have any options. Like, the time to move Aaron Rodgers was prior to the draft. And when San Francisco drafted Trey Lance, it was over. And so now they're stuck with each other. And Aaron's unhappy. He doesn't want more money. He's just he feels betrayed. He's angry about it. I think he ends up back in Green Bay. I think he plays at a ridiculously high level because he's an awesome quarterback. And I've said this for months, Greeny. I think he makes everybody in that organization that he is upset with miserable. I think he treats them poorly, and that's how he goes about his business. That's how I think it plays out in Green Bay.
Go ahead, Sacha.
Can we just do something? Can we just not even talk about football for Aaron Rodgers at all? Because it's not about football. And we all know that. But we keep on saying, it's a great opportunity to win a Super Bowl, a great opportunity. It's not about that. Shailene Woodley just said it, and I love her movie, so I'm a fan of Shailene Woodley. She just said everything we need to know. And so that, for me, is the icing on the cake.
But here's where it is about football, which is to say, is he so upset that it will keep him from playing this season at all? His options, Booger, right now feel like they are miss the entire season or play all or some of the season for the Green Bay Packers. That's the point of him not really having a choice in all of this. So, Booger, what do you think he does?
Well, I don't think he shows up for training camp on Tuesday, and I'm sure that'll lead the headlines all week long. I just think Aaron Rodgers is dug in. I don't think it's about money. As Adam Schefter told us, they offered him a two-year contract extension that would have tied him there for 5 years. So if it's not about money, Greeny, then what is it about? It's about the respect factor and how he's been treated there and what's going to change between now and training camp. Nothing. And I don't believe Aaron Rodgers is someone as a deep guy, a deep thinker, someone who's very intellectual. I don't think he's wasted his entire offseason dealing with this just to all of a sudden on Tuesday say, you know what? All right, guys, enough of that. It's time to show up and play football. Like, I don't think he's going to do that. So what are his options? If the money's not, I mean, let's really break this down. If it's not the money, it's got to be the feelings. So what's going to change with the feelings between now and Tuesday? Like, I can't see anything changing, so I don't think he shows up.
I don't know what changes any time between now and the time they do ultimately trade him or he leaves as a free agent. So somewhere a tipping point has to come, or this will be a forced divorce and will be the biggest story maybe we've ever seen in the NFL if he holds out the entire year. Meanwhile, coming up next, we're heading to Pittsburgh, where a different sort of aging legend has one last chance at one last dance. Spoiler alert, at least one of us thinks he can do it. You'll hear that coming up. Plus, it's taken two decades for us to see this version of Tom Brady. Wait till you hear what he said now about those teams that passed on him in free agency. You will. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and the Pittsburgh Steelers open their training camp today with Ben Roethlisberger entering his 18th season as quarterback, and that is the shirt that he wore as he reported yesterday. The shirt says different on it, and we are now in this place where we are psychoanalyzing a lot of star NFL players and the hidden meanings behind the things that they say. So let me bring in our Steelers reporter, Brooke Pryor, who's terrific, gets up with us early here this morning. Brooke, what should I be reading into Ben showing up wearing a shirt that said different yesterday?
But Greeny, I think Ben Roethlisberger took a page out of Taylor Swift's book with this Easter egg of a shirt. But let's be real, the message is not all that hidden here. Ben knows that both he and this offense have to be different. They can't be as predictable. They need to be more multidimensional. And for Ben Roethlisberger personally, his accuracy on the deep ball has to be better. Last year, he completed just 29% of passes with air yards of over 20. That's down from his career average of completing about 35% of those passes. But look, he is another season removed from that elbow surgery, and I'm told that he comes into this camp stronger and that his elbow looks better. So hopefully we'll see those numbers tick back up.
Well, let's talk about his health here for a minute, because this is a guy who took a lot of hits last year behind what was a bad offensive line. There's been a lot of talk about how they replaced all these offensive linemen, but frankly, the offensive line was terrible, so it's hard to imagine that is such a big loss. And then there's been all this talk about his diet and everything else. Let's get a little more specific into what we can expect from Big Ben based on his health.
Look, I mean, I think Shefty tweeted it yesterday that Ben Roethlisberger showed up to camp looking like a leaner and meaner version of himself. But I'm told that focus has not been on weight loss. It's been on strength and regaining some of that mobility that he needs at the position. And to do that, he's been working with the same trainer that he's used full time the last couple years. That does include a chef. But there is no Tom Brady-like diet here. He's not eating the avocado ice cream and cutting out everything. And said he's just worried about his strength. He's worried about how his body at 39 years old is kind of adapting to his current situation. And that deals with the preparation, the training, and the recovery, this three-part system. And he hopes that this combination of things will help prolong his health through a 17-game regular season.
Now, Ben has just never felt like an avocado ice cream kind of guy. Brooke Pryor live with us here at Pittsburgh Steelers camp. Thank you so much, Brooke, and we will certainly be checking in with you as they get set to play in the Hall of Fame game. So the Steelers and the Cowboys will be the first teams that we see play each other. And Tim Hasselbeck, I've not yet had a chance to chat with you. The Steelers are a team that a lot of people think the league has passed them by, that this window has closed, that Ben is too old, that this is basically, but they're acting like a win-now team. They drafted a running back in the first round. They bring a 39-year-old quarterback back. So what are they, Tim Hasselbeck?
I think they're better than most people think they are. I mean, look, here's the reality. They won their first 11 games last year. I think they kind of had some bad luck because their bye week got moved after a COVID outbreak with the Tennessee Titans, and they ended up fizzling at the end of the season. All that to say, you look at Ben Roethlisberger week 16 against the Colts, a very good defense. He throws the ball nearly 50 times, has 340 plus yards passing and three touchdowns with no picks. Ben Roethlisberger is not done. They need to be better on the offensive line. He's not the same quarterback he once was, but he can play winning football. So I look at this team. If Kevin Colbert's choosing the players and Mike Tomlin is coaching the team and they have a future Hall of Fame quarterback that last year had a 3-1, you know, touchdown to interception ratio, that team is not out of it. And so I think they're going to be a lot more competitive than people are talking about right now.
I completely agree. And add to that an elite defense, and they bring in maybe the best playmaker in the entire draft on the offensive side in round one, and Najee Harris, a pick that, Booger, I know confused you a little bit, but maybe that's the reason why, because they're acting like a win-now team, and so many people don't perceive them to be. But that's obviously how they view themselves. Do you?
Yeah, agree. They're win now. I just don't know if they're set up to do that. By the way, Devontae Smith would like to have a word as far as being the best playmaker in the draft, but I digress. Greeny, it's about the offensive line for them. They have to be able to run the football. Tim is right. Mm-hmm. Big Ben can still play. They still have weapons on the outside. I don't know if they have the speed guy that can just go deep the way Ben had with Antonio Brown, but they do have weapons. The key to this team is going to be, can they win the way that Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert have built this team, which is we're going to dominate on defense, especially if we got Devin Bush, we got Minkah Fitzpatrick, we got Hayward and Tuitt and all those guys. So our defense has to be dominant, and we got to run the football, and we have a Super Bowl winning quarterback that has made a ton of plays, and we're going to count on him to be consistent in the big moments. Think about what they're doing. They're doing basically almost the opposite of what Tampa Bay is doing. Tampa Bay said, okay, we're going to build this offense up. We're going to have a dynamic guy in Tom Brady. We want him to make plays at the key moment. He doesn't have to carry the team, but our defense is going to be really, really good, and we can do it that way. It almost seems like Pittsburgh wants to do something very similar. The key will be, can they run the football, and can Bush and Watt and Tuitt and Hayward and Fitzpatrick stay healthy on defense?
Now, this is why I say Najee, I think, is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. I think they're going to base that offense or build it around him, and I think he's good enough to do it. Kimberly, my memory serves, I feel like you were around them a lot at the end of last season when things started going sideways for them. What do you remember, and do you think it looks like something that can be turned around this quickly?
I think to everybody's point, they have the players and they have the head coach. They can turn it around, but it is fair to bring up questions about the Steelers team. Which Steelers team are we going to see, the 11-0, as you said earlier in the show, or the one that won like one game down the stretch? When you look at the AFC North, though, the Browns aren't afraid to face the Steelers. The Ravens aren't afraid to face Steelers. You know, the rest of the AFC North doesn't feel like the Steelers are the favorite in that division. And so that's what they have to deal with. The AFC North is better. The AFC from top to bottom has a lot more players and a lot more good teams. So the Steelers don't only have to contend with their division, but everybody else in the AFC has gotten better as well.
That's correct. And we showed you that by last year's record, they actually have the hardest schedule in the NFL going into this season. So we'll see how it all plays out. In the meantime, we mentioned rookies. Let's take a look at some of the rookies here. And let's go on the clock, rookie edition. And Tim Hasebeck, I'm starting with you, including the quarterbacks. Which rookie do you think will have the biggest impact on his team this season? Tim, go.
Well, listen, I'd love to talk offense, but I'm going to go defense. And I'm going to say Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys. Look, that defense needs to get a lot better. He's going to be thrown right into the middle from day one, may end up being their signal caller. And if they can improve on that side of the ball, he might be the only rookie we're talking about, because we know they're going to be good on offense. If he's part of the reason they're better on defense, he's going to have a massive, massive impact on how we view the Cowboys.
That's a really good pick. I like it a lot. He was the best defensive player in this year's draft. It opted out of last year, so many people have forgotten. All right, Sam. Excluding the quarterbacks, or take the quarterbacks out of it, who do you think will be the most impactful rookie this season?
LA Chargers will be the most impactful rookie this season, and here's why. Let's look at Tampa Bay. We all talk about Tampa Bay and what they did. Yes, they got a quarterback, but they also got a left tackle in the first round of the draft last year in Tristan Wirfs. Rashawn Slater, Northwestern grad, 13th overall pick. He's going to protect the blind side of Justin Herbert, and he's going to he could have been the best tackle, people argued, last year, and so he's going to be the most important rookie this year as the LA Chargers have a great season.
I completely listen. No, you don't need me to co-sign from that one. That's Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. All right, Booger, one more. A lot of wide receivers in this year's draft. You and I were there as they were going off the board in the first and second round. So which rookie wide receiver do you think has the biggest rookie season? Booger, go.
Reunited Greeny, and it feels so good. It's got to be Ja'Marr Chase going to Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. Think about this, Greeny. The last time we saw Ja'Marr Chase, he was 19 years old, and he's the only player in college football history that had 20 TD catches and averaged over 20 yards per catch. I just think that the consistency and the symmetry between those two, it's going to go back like we was down in Baton Rouge, and they're going to start reminiscing and say, you remember how we did this? Remember how we did that? The eye contact, the consistency, the chemistry that the quarterback and wide receiver position always talk about, they're going to have, Greeny. So it's reunited, and it feels so good.
I agree. He was the best player, the best receiver on that team, a team that had Justin Jefferson on it, who just basically rewrote the rookie receiver record books last season. All right, excellent picks. As we continue in just a moment, we're going to Tampa Tom. Again, he talks, and this time says something we've never heard from him before. The question is he right? And the answer is coming up.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back for some QB quick reads with our own quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, let's go through some of these lightning fast. We start in Green Bay. Will Aaron Rodgers be the Packers starting quarterback week one?
I believe that he will be, no matter how unhappy he is. I think he probably loves football just a little bit more, and the chance to compete and continue to play at a high level, I think, wins out.
He doesn't really have any other options besides sitting out, and so maybe that is his best choice. Next, quick read. Who will be the Patriots starter week one?
I'm really uneasy about this one, to be totally honest with you, but I think it will be Cam Newton. You know, Cam played a lot of football, played a lot of good football in the past. Last year was a disaster, but I do think there's probably enough belief in him in the organization that he can be the week one starter. Not super confident, but I think it will be Cam.
I hear the hesitation in your voice. Meanwhile, the former Patriot Tom Brady, will he be better, worse, or the same next season?
It's crazy to say. I think he's going to be better. And the reason I think he's going to be better is look back at what last year's offseason was. You know, they were unsure a little bit about what they were going to do offensively, scheme-wise. How much of it, you know, input was Tom going to have? How were the guys going to react around him to play kind of at his pace? I think because of the familiarity after a year, Tom's actually going to be better start to finish than he was a year ago.
I completely agree. He looks younger. He looks healthier. And for all the reasons you just described, there are reasons to think he will be even better. In the meantime, he spoke recently about what still motivates him, and I think every word of this is fascinating. Listen.
There's private things for me that are going to remain, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know that the teams
know. You think they know?
Yeah, the teams know who we're probably interested in. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing.
He's really mad. I mean, if you listen to that, he's not just manufacturing some chip on his shoulder. He's basically saying all these teams that didn't want him last offseason, there's not as many smart people as you think there are in the world. He's basically saying, if you didn't want me last year and you know who you are, you're stupid. I feel like that's what he's saying. Booger, do you?
Yeah, Greeny. First of all, I would love to know, where is it cold enough in America in July for a fire in the background? That's number one. That just kind of took me aback. I mean, Greeny, it's the middle of July and they have a fire. It's 105 degrees in Tampa. Like, come on, give me a break. As far as Tom Brady is concerned, listen, Tom Brady is living by the theory that I've always loved. If you can't pat yourself on the back and let everyone know who you are and give yourself flowers, then how can you expect people to? He's compared himself to Gretzky, compared himself to Michael Jordan. He understands who he is. He understands he's the greatest of all time. And guess what? You have to have motivation somewhere. Even the greats, Greeny. How many times did we hear Michael Jordan talk about being cut in off his high school basketball team? At some point, you have to have something that's going to motivate you to get up every single day and go and do what we do. For us, it's all different things, but for Tom Brady, it's going to be fueled now. At one point in time, it was because he was the 199th pick. Now it's the fact that he has been not wanted by some of the teams in the offseason, and him and Jim Gray are going to manufacture this atmosphere, put a fire in the background to get the ambiance going, and he wants us to believe that he's somehow disrespected. Okay, Tom, I hear you. Great job. Let's see you play well in Tampa. But turn the fire off. Come on, man.
Kmart, putting the fire to the side for just a moment. Is this who Tom Brady really has been all along, and the Patriot way kind of would not allow it? Or is this something he has grown into based upon all of his success and everything else?
I do think it's both. Yesterday, I wrote an open letter to Aaron Rodgers. Today, my letter to Tom Brady starts, "Dear Tom, thank you. Thank you for just showing this side of you, the real human side of you." Because I think Tom has talked about how over the years he was reticent to say what he really thought, what he really felt. It's better to sort of put on that exterior of, you know, I'm just going to say very little, not give real in-depth answers. And this Tom is authentic and real. You know how many times, think about your own life. Think about that boss who didn't think you had it, or think about that person who didn't think you should take this position or go there or do this or whatever. And in the back of your mind, you're like, really? Okay, watch what I do. And that's just, we're just regular people. Tom is the greatest quarterback that's ever walked Earth. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of us. It's like OK Magazine or Cosmo being like, celebrities are just like us. Yeah, Tom is just like us. He holds on to grudges, and we love him more for exposing that side of him.
Tim, what do you think?
First off, I think it gets cold at night in Montana, Boog. I know you love Tampa, but it's humid down there. If you don't need to be there in the summer, you go to Montana, okay? So let's start there. That's why there's a fire in the background. Look, here's what I would say. I think he's been like this all along, Greeny, to be honest with you. And I think the Patriot way was the Patriot way. And it worked. And it was great. And it worked for a lot of people. And they had a lot of success. And that's why there was so much buy-in. But then when you start to realize that you can't have success other than the Patriot way, it's okay to act the way that you would normally act. So in some ways, no different than Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians says a lot of things that grab people's attention. Well, no different for Tom Brady, and now he kind of has the freedom to do it without looking like somebody who's selfish or putting himself in front of the team.
And so if this is really him being his more authentic self, and with all of the pieces he has in place around him, maybe that explains why at the age of 44, he doesn't feel like he's necessarily that close to the end of his career. Meanwhile, let's talk about another team. We are less than a week away from Browns training camp, and this season they have higher expectations than ever before. Despite last season's success, star wideout Odell Beckham was on the sidelines for Cleveland. Baker Mayfield was at a football camp yesterday talking about OBJ.
About a month ago, I would have said that he looks very, very good. And I know after speaking with him that he feels even better. So I'll let you guys see that for yourselves.
Okay, so this is the one that it always gets a little tricky when you talk about it. To be clear, I think Odell Beckham Jr. is as talented a wide receiver as there is in the NFL and a great player capable of great things. However, Tim Hasselbeck, it is inescapable that last year when Odell went out injured is exactly when Baker Mayfield just started playing much, much better. That's just a simple statement of fact. My question to you as a quarterback, Tim, is that a coincidence?
No, it's not a coincidence, because part of what happens when you have somebody as talented as Odell, you feel like you have to force him the ball, and you can get into trouble doing that. And so it doesn't matter if it's a great receiver or a great tight end, it can pull you outside of the design of the offense, and that's not always a good thing. And oftentimes it's a bad thing and gets you into trouble. It's also a bad thing sometimes as a play caller, feeling like you have to design things for a specific, you know, player, rather than just trying to attack the defense that you're facing. So I think there's probably a learning lesson in last year for Kevin Stefanski, for Baker Mayfield, and hopefully for Odell Beckham, that look, you will get yours if you just kind of play inside the confines of that offense, and there's plenty to go around. Look what happened in Minnesota where Kevin Stefanski came from. Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, they both did great. So I think that's what needs to happen off of the information from last year.
Sancho, pick it up there.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a lot of mouths to feed. And the Minnesota example is a great example. But you got Nick Chubb. You got Kareem Hunt, who are two dominant running backs. Then you've got Odell. Then you've got Jarvis Landry, two phenomenal receivers. If Booger was here, he'd be talking about LSU all day. But I'm glad he's not. So there are a lot of mouths to feed. There are a lot of mouths to feed on this offense. And so Stefanski got a chance to go back to his normal play calling, normal duties, instead of trying to feed a specific player. I remember being back in Arizona when I played for the Cardinals. And we would have to get Larry Fitzgerald the ball, not because he was selfish, but there were some records that he was trying to set, and our offensive coordinator wanted him to get those records. Mm-hmm. And if you have a good offensive coordinator, you can work around some of those things. But there are times where even if you're a player that says, I am team first, the coach will want to get that player the ball, even if it's outside of your scheme.
Kimberly, I know that you have spoken directly with Baker about this subject. What did he tell you?
Yeah, Greeny, a couple years ago, I was there for training camp. I interviewed Baker during Freddie Kitchens' one and only season as head coach. And, you know, Baker was raving about all the weapons he had. But one thing he did stress to me was, I've got to get these guys to understand that there is only one ball. Like, not everybody's going to eat, but not at the same time. Now, that season was a dumpster fire, but I think that tidbit holds true now. You know, as everybody's saying, you can't feed everybody and they can't force the ball to Odell. In fact, Baker's thrown more interceptions targeting Odell than he has touchdowns when he's targeting Odell. So I think there's actually more pressure on Odell than Baker. We've seen Baker, when there's pressure to win, he can do it. Last year, we saw that. Now, Odell has to come in and show that he's team first and is ready to fit in wherever he can.
That is a very interesting thought, and it's something to keep an eye on as we get closer to the start of the season. Meanwhile, as we continue here, coming up, Giannis helping end the Bucks championship drought, which got us to thinking, which NFL team will be the next to end a long championship drought? We'll talk about that, and we'll see if we can answer this question. This is Sneaky Hembo, and it's for Hasselbeck. Here we go. Which NFL franchise has played the most seasons without ever winning a title? That is the question. The answer is coming up next. Get up on ESPN. This is a genuinely great question, Tim Hasselbeck. And to be clear, which franchise has played the most seasons without ever winning a title of any kind? So that would include the American Football League, the AAFC, any other championships in the history of the sport. Which one's played the most years without winning any title?
Okay, so I've kind of decided. I'm going with the Detroit Lions. I was thinking of a team. I was thinking Super Bowl, so I wasn't going back to other titles. I'm saying Detroit.
Okay, it's an interesting guess. There was once upon a time when the Lions were good at football. The Vikings have been a franchise for 60 years and have never won a title. They predate the Super Bowl. They came from the National Football League as an expansion franchise and have never won a championship. 60 years and counting. All right, score that one for Hembo. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, if you were not following Giannis on Instagram yesterday, then you missed all kinds of fun. Just enjoy this.
Oh, man. Hey, what up, Bloody? Bloody, what up, man?
So can I have, please, a 50-piece Mac Minis? 50, exactly.
Okay.
Not 51, not 49. Chicken Minis, yes. 50.
36! Bucks in six.
He may be the most likable superstar ever. He also helped snap a 50-year drought for the Milwaukee Bucks. And over the last 5 years, lengthy championship droughts have been put to bed in pretty much every sport. It starts with that one again. It had been since 1971 that the Bucks had won a title, so they are the most recent. Obviously in 2016, the Cubs snapping a 108-year World Series drought. The Cavaliers, the Astros, the Capitals, the Blues, the Raptors, the Nationals, all winning their first championships in the last 5 years. The NFL has caught the craze as well. 2017, the Eagles winning their first championship in 57 years. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs ending a 50-year drought for that franchise. In fact, over the last 25 seasons, 13 teams have accounted for every Super Bowl winner, meaning there are 19 NFL teams that have not won a championship for over a quarter of a century. Here are a couple of the notable ones that we think might have a chance at breaking that drought. And so we decided to ask our crew today, which NFL team will be the next to break the drought? Make your case for why one of those teams is going to be the next to win the Super Bowl. And Tim Hasselbeck, I'll start with you.
Okay, I have to prove this case, but I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns. I know I got a little bit of work to do here to plead my case here. You know, the reason I say it is this. They've done a tremendous job with the talent on their football team. And I get it. It has been a disaster for a really long time. But through some of those bruises and scars, I think they've improved. And I really believe in the coaching staff that they have assembled in Cleveland. I think that the job Kevin Stefanski did in year one, considering what that offseason was remarkable. And if they can get everybody to play around the quarterback at a high level, I think the quarterback's good enough to get it done. So I'm going with Cleveland.
To quote my friend Jalen Rose, say it with your chest. We created this topic on radio yesterday. That's my pick. I agree with you on the Browns. Booger McFarland, how about you?
Green, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. I just think they take the next step. You know, having played in Tampa, I remember how we knocked on the door, and then finally we knocked the door down in Philadelphia, taking that next step. You have to learn how to win. You got to learn how to play in the big games. They have a quarterback, Josh Allen, who we've seen the improvement so far, year one to year two and so on and so forth. I think he's going to get better and better. You look at what they have with Stephon Diggs, that defense is going to be better. Their stars are very young and will continue to get better like we did in Tampa. I think Buffalo takes the next step. And Sean McDermott is one of my favorite coaches, Brandon being the GM. I love what they stand for on the organization. I think they are on the cusp, and they have the defense that can give Kansas City fits.
Their last championships, 64-65 in the American Football League. Sam Acho, who's the next team to break a drought?
Hey, y'all don't sound too confident. I'm going to be confident with my pick and say it with my chest. The L.A. Chargers will be the next team to break the drought. And once again, here's why. Y'all heard me talk about some of the offensive talent we talked about, but we didn't talk about Joey Bosa. We didn't talk about this head coach in Brandon Staley, who's literally, this guy was defensive coach of the year, the number one defense last year. He's coaching quarterbacks. He's using Tom Brady's film, showing young quarterbacks how to play the quarterback position. He's built and destined to be a head coach. He was coaching D3 a few years ago. They got scouted. He got found. He went to the NFL. He did really well. Now all of a sudden he's a head coach, and he has talent. Keenan Allen. You got Justin Herbert, Rashawn Slater, Corey Linsley. Then you got Joey Bosa and Derwin James on defense. You have everything you need in this team to go win a championship. It's been 62 years. Y'all don't sound confident. I'm going to say this with my chest because I believe it with my heart.
They also, an AFL champion, have not won a Super Bowl. I like that pick. Kimberly, how about you?
Greeny, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills, and it's not because I had a brief spell as a Buffalo columnist for the Buffalo News. It's because in Brandon Bean, we should all trust. When he traded for Stephon Diggs, there are questions. Oh, did he spend too much? Oh, that's a lot of draft capital for Stephon Diggs. Guess what? There isn't a better NFL bromance than Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen has quieted all the doubters. We're not wondering if he's a fluke. We know he's legit. He was in the MVP conversation for a bit last year. Stephon Diggs, I expect another big season. Adding Emmanuel Sanders, while he's a little older, I think that gives Josh Allen another dependable target. They improved the defense, particularly a pass rush. So I think Buffalo has all the makings of a team that can finally bring a championship to their fans once more.
We will see. Everybody knows they made those four straight Super Bowls, but haven't won a championship since the days of the AFL. We'll see which is the next to break a drought. Meanwhile, I want to remind you that we are once again the proud home of the National Hockey League, and so we will have the first round of this year's draft tomorrow, 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and the ESPN app, One App, One Tap. My buddy John Butchigross will be the host. You'll want to check it out. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up next here on ESPN. Will the Cowboys make the playoffs? Is Aaron Rodgers being disrespected? The First Take crew weighs in on that and more next. All right, here's our next UFC Fight Night Saturday from the Apex in Vegas. Another stacked card, which will include former champ TJ Dillashaw making his return to the octagon against second-ranked Corey Sandhagen in the bantamweight main event. Prelims start 4 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus, followed by the main card at 7. All right, once again, we're 5 days and counting till the Packers start training camp, and all eyes around the world, well, beyond just the football world, are on Aaron Rodgers. And so everyone might have seen Aaron Rodgers tweeting congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks. You might be aware he is a minority owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, and so he gets to sort of celebrate that championship. So here's my question in the moments that we have left. Which is likelier to happen, Sam Acho? Aaron Rodgers to win another ring with the Bucks or another ring with the Packers? Sacho, go.
Let me be abundantly clear. The only way that Aaron Rodgers goes back to Green Bay is if they give him the keys to that roster. They're not doing it. And so he's probably going to win one, maybe two more rings with the Bucks before he wins another one with Green Bay.
Okay. Booger, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with the Bucks. I don't think he plays again in Green Bay. I think he's going to move on. Although the Bucks, it's going to be pretty tough. You got to realize that the Nets are going to be outstanding in the East next year. You got the 76ers. And you look at what's going on out west with Phoenix, L.A., the Clippers, Denver. It's going to be tough for Milwaukee to win another ring. But if we're going with the hypothesis of being more likely, I would agree it's got to be the Bucks, because I don't think, even if he comes back to Green Bay this year, which I don't believe he will, he's only going to be there for one more season.
I'm glad you brought up the possibilities of the Bucks winning, because that's where my mind immediately went. I don't think the Bucks, for all the reasons you just described, have an easy path to get there. But you guys, these guys, Tim, both do not believe Rodgers is going to play for the Packers. What do you think? What's the answer to this question?
Yeah, I don't need to give you an NBA breakdown to answer this one. Look, for me, unless I miss some announcement that Jeopardy has hired him full time, where is Aaron Rodgers going? Like, I get he's mad. Like, I know that he's mad. I know that it's not about money. So what's he going to do? Just continue to take vacations all fall and not play football? Where's the landing spot? Where is he getting traded to? What's the compensation for a guy that's thrown 99 touchdowns and 9 picks over the last 3 seasons? I don't know where else he can end up. And quite honestly, I do think they are a Super Bowl contender in Green Bay if he's their starting quarterback.
Bug.
Really quick, Tim, we said the same thing about Carson Palmer. Where is he going? You know where Carson Palmer went? He went nowhere. He just sat down and waited his time. I think Aaron will do the same thing.
They went to the Raiders.
I'm still reeling.
Eventually. That's my point. Eventually.
I'm still reeling from the 99 touchdowns and 9 picks over the last 2 seasons. This is what we're talking about. For anyone who wonders, why do we spend so much time on this? We are talking about the reigning MVP of the National Football League, who was playing the best of a career that is as good as practically anyone in history. And in 5 days, he may very well be a holdout of indefinite tenure with the Green Bay Packers. We'll continue to talk about it, and we'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.